B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know, of all our rejoins, I think this might be the one I hate the most. And it's a bit of a contradiction. I just, whatever, I'm going to go off on tangents. This is what it's going to be like for a while now.
Do it.
But as much as I like the Beastie Boys, like the songs you know, and like regular Beastie Boys, instrumental Beastie Boys, like jamming Beastie Boys. Oh, I hate jamming as it is.
You do?
Oh, if you're a jam band, you should be sent to the sun. Fish, the Dead. String cheese incident, like any of that crap. It's the worst. No one, I would, if I was a band manager, I would help your band get famous because I would be there at the side of the stage with a whip in my hand. Play the hits, play your songs, nothing more than like 5 minutes long. All right. If you're like Tool and like that's your thing and you have the occasional 6 minute, 7 minute song and people like it, like I like some of those songs, fine. You play those. But otherwise, bright and tight. Otherwise, you get the whip. And Beastie Boys, like, no one wants to hear you jam. I hate instrumental Beastie Boys. Oh, it's just the worst. Play the songs that people know and your good songs and stay away from the jamming. They can't do it anyway anymore because one of them unfortunately died of cancer. But you know what I mean. Oh, I hate jamming. The worst. All right. Tom Brady held his initial press conference as a member of the
Tampa. Can I just interrupt you real quick? Yeah. All I can think of is Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons jamming.
I hope you like jamming too. That's the Weed episode, I believe.
Jamming.
Right? Yeah.
He just keeps going, jamming.
You're jamming. I hope you like jamming too. Oh, I hate it.
We're jamming. Oh, he's so funny.
It's just the worst. Like, oh, like,
you know,
let me ride the bass, give you a little bit of sweet licks right here.
Yeah.
Scoop, doop, dap, doop, doop. No, just play Sabotage, will you? Jesus. People know that one. Oh, I hate jams.
Just to get us sort of back on track, you know who loves jamming? Bet you Bruce Arians is a big jamming guy.
Oh, he looks like, yeah. Skibbidi-bop-dap-doo. Like, hey, daddy-o, you want to hear a cool song? You ever heard of Mahavishnu Orchestra? Each song is about 10 to 12 minutes long. Hey, I'm going to put this one on for you. Skibbidi-bop-dap-doo. Ooh, yeah, a little bit of jazz fusion from the early 70s. I remember tripping out with my woman at the time. Like, yeah, you know, he would strike me as a guy that loves the jamming.
And then I'll play Tom Brady. Coach, I thought we were going to talk about the gameplay.
Yeah, right. Nah, things are real loose here, TB. I like what you mean. There are no hands on the clocks here. You notice that? Time doesn't exist with the Arians, man.
So, Bruce, I have this idea for a play-action play that we ran in New England that could work. Bruce?
All right, I'm going to put on Bitches Brew by Miles Davis. This is when it really got wild, when he started to be a little bit more jazz fusion. He was really on the horse. You ever hear this before? I'm going to put this on for you, Tom. We're not going to watch no tape. We're just going to listen to the sounds of Bitches Brew. Skip-a-bop-boop-bop-doop-bop-skip-bop.
Oh, yeah, no, that's going to be a bit of a change. A big, big culture change for Tom Brady dealing with the Bruce Arians. He's me. He's a fatter, older me in terms of the aesthetics with the hipster glasses and the stupid hat. Believe me, I get it.
Oh, my God.
But at least
you're right.
But at least, I don't know, like time does matter to me. Getting the job done the right way matters to me. That's going to be, and I can understand why Tom got frustrated with how much of a taskmaster Bill is, and he's just looks at Tom as just another cog, right? And, and I do, I'm mostly with you in that. Especially because I think it's been more Brady than Belichick in recent years. Maybe not that last Super Bowl, because that was really Bill getting his swerve back in terms of the defense and the plan that he had against the Rams that year. But it's been more Tom than team to me overall in the last 5 or 6 years. So I think that in cases like Tom Brady and all that he's accomplished towards the end, special players deserve a bit of special treatment. I don't think that was that big of an ask for what Tom was looking for. And I don't know, as much as you may look at Alex Guerrero as a bit of a kook, Bill, do you have to treat him like a second-class citizen? I can understand his frustrations and not want to deal with that anymore.
But boy, is he in for a rude awakening, because you do have to have some kind of structure. Like, it's a delicate balance. You need structure. You need a plan. You can't have it as loose as we're playing around here thinking of how it's going to be for Bruce Arians and Tom Brady there. But it's definitely going
to
be different.
Yeah, Bruce just likes to riff, man.
Yeah. He just keeps playing all these weird jazz records and talking about the acid he did in the 70s. We don't really watch all that much film. But you were on – I didn't know you were on that press conference, so you didn't get to ask your questions. But no. Hearing the tone of his voice, and maybe it just has more to do with the state of the world and the craziness, but it felt to me that it was subdued. It wasn't really dripping with a lot of enthusiasm for Tom Brady being a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Did I read too much into that, or did you get the same thing?
No, I think that you read his presentation correctly. I just think it was calculated. I think he knew there were Boston people on that call, and I think that he did not want to come off as being overly excited about leaving Boston. Because I think he knows ultimately with his legacy, you know, that's something that is still sort of being hashed out. Not his legacy, but in terms of who's more responsible for Tom Brady not finishing his career as a Patriot. Is it Tom Brady? Is it Robert Kraft? I think he was sensitive to that. I also think he was trying to be respectful of the current pandemic that we're facing. You know, I think that kind of colored all of his comments. Like, he kept talking about, you know, whenever we're able to get together, and I think he even referenced, you know, more important things happening in the world. So I think he was trying to be subdued from that standpoint too. I don't think he wanted to come off like it was all about football. Like, I think one of the few public miscalculations of Brady's career that I can recall was in the wake of the Aaron Hernandez thing, when he spoke to reporters. And I remember being there, and I remember I just felt like he struck the wrong tone. You know, here were people that had lost their lives. You know, it was Odin Lloyd and you know, the other two gentlemen that Aaron Hernandez was accused of killing, and that a lot of people feel he did kill. And Tom was talking about it like it was this like adversity the team had to overcome. Like, they just lost like Logan Mankins with a torn ACL.
It was cold.
It was cold and businesslike. And I think he learned from that if you have something going on that's bigger than football, you have to sort of emotionally acknowledge that. So I think he was trying to do that as well.
Do you think that there is, though, he's realizing a little bit that this is going to be such a massive change?
Yes.
Yeah. And that, you know, maybe he doesn't know what he's walking into, and that's that fear of the unknown. I think that that's understandable. Like, you can be all sword rattling, and I think that those around him, I think it's the dad, the wife, and Alex. And that crew around him, that core, that Brady core, has really been like, get away from him. Bill doesn't appreciate you as much. And I think Tom feels this way, but it's really those three, like da 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 da, chirp 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 chirp, in recent years. And they built him up, and he really started to feel that. And now it's like, okay, you've accomplished this, but it's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the losingest franchise in sports history, as irrelevant a franchise as there is in professional sports, not just the NFL. And this is what he's going to. And I understand there is some talent there, and guys like Godwin and Evans.
Definitely, yeah.
And, you know, maybe he'll be able to light it up, and he'll be reinvigorated. But, boy, it is going to be such a change. I can't help but hearing how he spoke this week and feel like that kind of hit him a little bit.
Yeah, I think there's – I mean, look, I think there's a little bit of truth to that. He knows the challenge in front of him, and it's daunting. And I think for someone who's a creature of habit to not be able to engage in things that you feel like can help you be prepared – I mean, Tom Brady's greatest strength has always been his mind. That's always been his greatest skill, his level of preparation, his retention, all that stuff. Well, there's only so much he can do in terms of working towards that with the new offense, given – what's happening right now in the world. I mean, there's not going to be an off-season program. There's not going to be OTAs. So he has a lot of catch-up, and he wants to build those relationships with his teammates. So I think that's a part of it as well. I mean, look, I still look at this, and I think I know how it happened, especially talking to people, and I even understand why it happened. But I still look at it and say it shouldn't have happened, because the best thing for Tom Brady and the best thing for the Patriots would have been to stay together. And that's the most disappointing part of this whole thing for me, is that I just think the emotion of the whole thing and stubbornness on both sides and pride on both sides ultimately pushed this thing to a point where it's not what's best for anyone. And maybe I'll be proven wrong, because Tom will light it up in Tampa Bay. But I think if the goal for both sides was to win more Super Bowls in the next couple of years, they were better off doing it together, not splitting. I think the Patriots are a significantly weakened team and a non-Super Bowl contender without him, even though I think they'll make the playoffs. And I think Tampa will make the playoffs, but I don't think they're a Super Bowl contender, even with Brady.
Yeah, I think, what did you say last week, 10-6? Because you don't trust their defense all that much, right?
No, I think their secondary is bad.
Yeah.
Their secondary is bad, and they play in a division that I know a lot of people are like, oh, that division's not that great besides the Saints. Yeah, but you two of the teams are in a dome. All the teams are in decent weather. It's great passing weather in that division. And I just feel like they have a bunch of great quarterbacks this year on the schedule. They have to play Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
So I look at it and
Mahomes,
I think
the Chiefs.
Mahomes as well. And so I look at that and I say, I don't know. I don't know if that defense is up to the task. I mean, the pass rush is good, but the secondary to me is unremarkable. And I could see Tom being in a lot of shootouts, which might be fun, and you'll put up crazy numbers. I mean, Jameis Winston led the NFL in passing yards per game last year in that offense. That's great, but do you want to win?
Yeah, it's. I don't think they'll be good. I don't know if they can win the division. I still think it's the Saints' division. I don't, you know, we talked about it last week. I don't believe in Carolina or the Falcons all that much, but they're going to struggle. That defense needs some help. And again, just the culture change. Like, hey, coach, I thought we could go over some tape this week. You know, we got the Falcons. They got a whole new look secondary. They got rid of Desmond Trufant.
They got Dante Fowler.
Yeah, you know, a bit of a pass rush, too. Like, we should go over some tape. Yeah, man, but first, let me put on Jeff Beck Blow by Blow. Pure Instrumental Bliss from 1974. You ever hear this album? No. Well, we're going to listen to it track by track. Wait till we get to Scatterbrain. Let's keep it a pop, 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 pop. And here's why I can come up with these references so quick. Because I hate jamming, but here's the contradiction.
Okay.
A young guitar-playing Jimmy, teen Jimmy.
Yeah?
I did like some of these bands. I read some of the Jeff Beck, Blow by Blow, Mahavishnu Orchestra. Like, there was a weird time for me. Like, I actually
really
got into the Dead for like a year. Acid screws your brain up there, Chris.
Oh, okay.
It was a strange time in 1995 for yours truly. So, yes, no, I remember it well. And all I would do is, yeah, no, if I'm going to be a guitar, I'm going to be a guitar player, man. That didn't work out.
So you weren't the second coming of Eric Clapton?
Oh, God, no. I sucked. And even trying to play with any of my friends that actually became somewhat accomplished musicians.
Oh, really?
Anytime I did, guess who the weak link was? Pointing at myself here,
man,
in the studio. All right, that being said, if you want to weigh in on anything we've discussed thus far, you can have at it at 617-779-0985. Brady, a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. Still sounds weird to say. And boy, is he in for a culture change down there as well. I'll get to your calls next here on Gasper Murray.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub. You're listening to Gasper and Murray.
Fantastic chemistry.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's, you know, some really talented players here on this offense that, you know, that have very unique skill sets. It's really my responsibility to, you know, I have one ball and I got to be able to deliver that ball to the guy who can do something with it. So, you know, there's a lot of ground to make up. Because, you know, I haven't worked with, you know, these players, and I'm going to have to learn what they do and their body language and how they like things. And, you know, that's part of the challenge. And, you know, it's unfortunate we're going through in our world. It presents different challenges for all of us. So, again, as soon as we have the opportunity to all be together in one place and we can really start working toward that, and that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, listen to it, Tom. Sure, you're going to get to work with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin and a tight end like Cameron Brayton. But first, I need to focus your audio and listen to Jeff Beck's Scatterbrain. Blows your mind, don't it? It's like a zonk on the head, daddy-o. All right, Bruce, can we just watch film? Jesus Christ. Gasper Murray, 98.5, The Sports Hub. You got to be Dixie fried not to get into the sounds of Jeff Beck. Listen to this. Jam it. Oh, yeah. Turn it up, B-Rob. This is what we got to do. Oh, yeah, baby. Everything is plus down here in Tampa. Can we just watch film? Bruce.
It's going to be a whole different world for Tom Brady down there.
Oh, that's awesome, Jeff. You should have had me play Brady. Because I could have been like, Bruce, what do you want to do against cover three?
Cover three? I just want to put those covers over my head. Turn up the sounds of Jeff Beck.
Blow by Blow, 1974, all instrumental. For an hour and a half, yeah, turn it up. Oh, yeah. Listen to these sweet licks and the buzz coming out of that orange amplifier.
Bruce, Bruce.
Keep out of the bottle, bottle, beep, bop, bop, boo, da, bada, boo, skeep, bop, doodle, doo, skeep, ba, da, skeep, ba, doodle, doodle, doo, da, diddle, 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 da, yeah, oh, yeah. You feeling the groove, Tom?
Oh, I think so, Coach. Look, Bruce, I think I have a blitz beater for this blitz package that I've seen the Saints running.
This is the problem with you, Tom. You're like a bright disease. You know too much. Sound like a bit of a rat, man. You just gotta chill out. Take a hit of the spliff. Turn up a little Jeff Beck blow by blow, daddy-o. Oh, yeah.
Jeff Beck, I didn't see him. Is he on the 2-deep for the Saints this week, Coach?
Man, you're a drag, TB.
Yeah, no. And the other thing, too, I've been thinking about one of the misconceptions about talking about the weapons down there. And I do like they're better weapons down there in Tampa than what he had last year.
Yeah.
But the tight end, so Cameron Brate's good, and O.J. Howard was good at Alabama. But you keep reading that O.J. Howard was actually in Bruce Arians' doghouse last year. What do you have to do to get in that guy's doghouse? Do you have to, like, say bad stuff about jazz fusion? Like, I don't get, like, you have to be a real a-hole, I think, to be on the bad side of Bruce Arians.
I think
Arians.
He told him that Jeff Beck needed to be auto-tuned.
Yeah.
How dare you, daddy-o.
No, but he does have some rules. I actually give him I give him credit. He said a couple of nights ago on I forget whose show it was, but he was on some radio interview saying, hey, you know, we're not bringing Antonio Brown in here. He had to deal with him a bit when he was in Pittsburgh.
Yes.
So, and good. Like, I don't, if that's something that Brady has been kind of, you know, hammering the desk banging the drum for, like, nope, I need to have AB. Yeah. I can help you rehabilitate his image. He's beyond saving. And no one should have to deal with that a-hole right now. So good for Bruce Arians, who is going to runs a loose ship down there.
He does.
At least looks at him as like, no, we're not going to do
well,
that.
Well, he's, you know, he coached AB before in Pittsburgh, and everybody knows AB brings down the mellow.
Yeah. You're harshing my mellow, man. I don't want to deal with your bad vibes. I just want to listen to some Jeff Beck. Maybe some Miles Davis, too. Bitches Brew. What's the other one that I used to play on Sundays that everyone knows? Son of a bitch, I forget the name. Anyway, Frank the Tank, you're next here on Gasper Murray. Hey, Frank, how are you doing?
Good, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
Not too much. Look, first and foremost, I really want to thank Nesson for saving me, to give me something to watch. You know, the 2013 Red Sox playoff run, the Bruins 2011 run. I mean, not that I need a reason to get drunk, but it's been awesome to watch all that all over again. So I thank them for saving me from the television abyss of these crap shows like This Is Us and blah, 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 and all this other crap I've got to go through with my wife and kids. But look, with the Brady thing, I don't blame him, and I don't blame the organization. I think organizationally it's the right move. You got an old quarterback that, you know, is not going to be here forever, and you do have to think about the future if you want to continue to put out a winning product. But at the same time, I do blame both sides. I think Brady should have stayed here, and I think the Patriots should have done whatever they could to bring him here. He's a special athlete that I think his last you know, throw in the NFL should have come as a New England Patriot, not a Tampa Bay Buccaneer. So that's kind of where I'm at. I mean, I'm sad, but I'm angry, and I'm happy for him. He wanted to move on, and he deserves to move on if he wants to. For everything that he's done for us here, I guess I don't blame him. But, you know, for me, it's just a sad thing for me to have to actually come to grips with that he's gone. So stay safe, boys. Wash your hands and do what you got to do, and hopefully we all come out of this okay.
Yeah, you too, Frank. All the best to the family as well. Yeah, I would have, as much as I'm happy for him, I'm with Frank on that. Like, I actually, this doesn't bug me as much that he's going somewhere else, and I want to see him reinvigorated and maybe play at an MVP level again.
Wanted him to leave,
I
didn't
do.
You?
It is weird that it's the Tampa Bay Bucs, but it does bug me that his last throw as a New England Patriot was a pick six. Like, that sucks.
Well, I don't know. I think it's not quite symmetry because it wasn't, you know, Stidham's first throw as a you know, Patriot wasn't a pick six, but like his first drive was.
All right, to Jamal.
Yeah, that's so right. There you go.
Not good. John in Middleboro on Tom Brady. Hey, John.
What's going on, guys? Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, real quick, Murray, thank you for the suggestion of Tiger King before it became popular on social media. Oh my God, what a train wreck that show was.
It's one of the great kooky documentaries I've ever watched, and I am a connoisseur of kooky documentaries, but it is great.
It just keeps getting crazy and crazy.
Oh my God.
But anyways, real quick, Gasper, I definitely think I think Brady's going to go take the over on the wins this year. I think they're going to go at least 12. I know they got a couple of tough games.
Wow.
I think the Saints, definitely you can count that up as a loss. I was looking Green Bay, Kansas City. Those are probably going to be losses. But other than that, I mean, I think they got the chance to probably go 12-4, maybe 11. Definitely take the over on that, guys. Stay safe. All right.
All right. You too. Bye. Appreciate the call. Ah, it's a rosy picture of the Bucs. I just think they have a tough schedule, and I'm just not sure on the defense. I will say this. I'm very sure of the defensive coordinator. I think Todd Bowles is excellent. I think Bruce Arians has put together a very strong staff down there, and I think that's one of the reasons Brady's there. I mean, there are guys that have experience working with a quarterback of his aptitude. You have Clyde Christensen, who's the quarterback's coach, who was the former offensive coordinator in Indy. You have Tom Moore, who was the longtime quarterback confidant of Peyton Manning. So there's a good staff down there.
Let's go to Tom in the car, who has a thought on Bruce Arians. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Hey, a couple of quick things. I was listening to a national show, and apparently some prominent, you know, NFL guy, I don't know if he was a GM or whatever, he actually put the over-under of Brady games played at 12, and he picked the under. Ooh. He thinks he's going to get whacked because of his lack of mobility with the Arians offense. And are you guys aware why Arians left Pittsburgh?
No. Do you have insight on it?
Wasn't there some sort of issue?
Yeah, he got let go by a directive by Art Rooney, the son, you know, who's now the president.
Okay.
Because Roethlisberger was being lit up like a pinata. He was taking way too many hits, and he felt his asset was, being compromised. And Tomlin did not want to have him leave. And Arians had a bitter taste towards Pittsburgh because Art Rooney, it was a directive by Art Rooney because Ben was getting whacked.
Oh,
that's interesting.
That's what the media down there in Pittsburgh wants you to believe, man. Pittsburgh Post-Gazette paints an ugly picture of old daddy, old Bruce, getting Ben hit and whacked. But what it was with those Rooneys, man. They didn't like old Bruce on the China White, not watching film, preparing, just sitting back, listening to some Miles Davis kind of blue. Oh, yeah. I forgot the name of this a few moments ago, but now I remember. So what? This is the one everyone knows. And that's how I feel about life, man, and watching film and getting prepared. So what? Oh, yeah. That's what them Rooneys didn't like, man. Yeah, this is that Sunday, sit back, have a cup of coffee, maybe enjoy a spliff, and we'll ease into the game. You got a TB?
Can't we just watch film, man? Like, get prepared? We're 0-5. I came here to reinvigorate my career.
Nah, daddy-o, just kick back and relax. This is Miles Davis before he got hooked on the H. Oh, yeah.
No, I forgot the name of this one. This one, and I'm no jazz head at all, but like everyone knows this. You know this song, right? Yeah, like this is like you walk into any coffee shop, they're playing So What from Kinda Blue. It's a good kicking around on a Sunday album. But now who wants to kick around on a Sunday considering we're all kicking around all the time now, 7 days a week, 24-7, always home. Oh, my God.
That's true.
I can't even believe, like, it is such a respite to be able to come here and,
yeah, for now.
Right. Yeah. No, that's the other thing. Got yelled at because, again, everyone just wants to yell on Twitter. It's the worst place in the world. How come you're still going in? Selfish. They've told us we can come in. And until the employer says you can't come in or the government says I can't come in, I'm coming in. If you want to continue to weigh in on the show, 617-779-0985. We're running out of stuff to watch. We are starting to lose our minds. If you haven't seen Tiger King, though, the hype is real. You should see the Tiger King, Chris. I know it put it in your queue.
All right.
But I know
finish this cheering documentary first.
A lot of you hate LeBron James. I understand that. You hate LeBron. LeBron's the worst. He's a loser. But LeBron, if you didn't know, he's actually doing his best to help us all cure our boredom during the pandemic. I wanted to touch on this next here on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Jasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we get to that LeBron thing, I wanted to mention, because I get it, you hate LeBron. Yeah, I can understand. He's very me, and can be annoying at times. But he is trying to help us cure our boredom during the coronavirus crisis. We'll get to that in a moment. But to your phones first, as we were talking about Brady, now with Tampa Bay Buck, Jack in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Jack. You're here on Gaspar.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
Yeah, I think the album you were looking for was Wired, by Jeff Beck and Jan Hammer.
Oh, yeah, Jan Hammer, huh? There's another guy that used
blow
to be.
Blow by Blow and Wired.
Yeah, cool on the synths. But what do you got on Brady? Go ahead.
Well, I thought they could have kept him for 2 years and, you know, spread the dead cap money over 2 years. I thought they could had that option to do it if they signed him before the deadline. But now I think the best option is to, you know, lose 13 games and go get Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, this is what's comes up from a lot of people, Jack. You're not alone there. Win never for Trevor. Trevor Lawrence has one more year, ostensibly, at Clemson. So tank, and then he will be the quarterback of the future of the Patriots. Two things here. First, it's never going to happen because Bill Belichick's never going to tank. The man has too much pride. He's trying to chase Don Shula and pass him for the wins record. And there's still too much talent on this team and leadership, especially on the defensive side of the ball. You still have Stephon Gilmore and the McCourties and Dante Hightower. They're not going to tank. It's not going to happen. And two, did you watch Clemson at all last year? And even in the championship game, like, I was a big proponent of Trevor Lawrence, and that, you know, that redshirt freshman year, like, he was the balls. Last year, especially with as much talent as they have, as Clemson has at wide receiver, I don't think he was that good. And I thought he was terrible in that championship game. I don't know how you felt about him, Chris, but I thought the shine came off of Trevor Lawrence a little bit last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there was definitely an element of that as well. You know, look, I think he tried too hard, and he was just sort of trying to get, you know, to a point where he could play even better than he had sort of the year before. And he had a rough start to the year. And then obviously the game against LSU, he didn't play well. But he still is by far the best prospect.
Oh yeah, he'll still be
coming
the,
out.
He'll still,
you know,
be the number one pick.
And
when
just
he
set the bar so high. I mean, when you dismantle a Nick Saban defense the way he did as a true freshman, it's like the bar is just set so high. It kind of reminds me of like when Beano Cook was like with Ron Paulus. Remember him from? He's like,
oh yeah,
he's
yeah,
gonna
yeah.
win for three Heisman's. Like yeah. It's like, okay, all right, calm down. Like the bar is really high.
Yeah, that that championship game, though, it was uncharacteristic for him. Like, short arm and throws, airmail and throws, looking jittery. It's like, oh, my God, what happened? It's a big moment, and he had been there before. It's just, yeah, he'll still be the number one overall pick, and I just don't know if he's as big of a slam dunk as Andrew Luck was when he came out. You know what I mean? Like, I just, and who knows? Like, if they end up having college football, nope, they're going to have college football. We're going to be positive, otherwise, paddling and a fine. I don't know. I thought the shine came off him just a hair. Anthony Waltham of the Patriots. Hello, Anthony.
I think that this whole Bill Belichick master plan is going to fail massively. They have a weak coaching staff with a bunch of Steve Belichicks and Mick Lombardis. And it's just there's not much talent on the team. Bill thinks he can win with anyone, and it's going to backfire on him.
Chris, do you agree with that? There's not much talent on the team. I still think defensively there's talent.
There's holes. Yeah, there's still talent. But I think offensively, this is the thing, like, take Brady out of it, which I know is difficult to do because Brady is the focal point of this entire offseason. But what have they done to upgrade an offense that struggled at tight end and wide receiver last year?
No, nothing.
They haven't done anything.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're all assuming David Andrews can come back, so that would be good. They lost Ted Karras. There's no sure thing that Joe Tooney's on the team, and he's your best offensive lineman. They franchised him. Hopefully they can work something out. But they might not be able to, and they might have to trade him, and they're sort of up against it from a cap standpoint. I don't think they want to carry that cap hit if they can't work something out from him. So that's why I lean towards 9-7. I think the defense is good, but even the defense has taken some hits. You've lost some key guys, Van Noy and Jamie Collins, who were a big part of what you were doing. Daron Harmon, I know a lot of people, I think people don't truly appreciate Daron Harmon. And some of your other guys, like McCourty and Hightower, are a year older. There's talent, but I don't see like 12-4, 13-3 talent.
Oh, yeah, no shot. I think best case scenario, they're 9-7, 10-6. That even might be a stretch. Sean in New Hampshire on Tom Brady. Does this thing lock up on me? Oh, you son of a bitch. I see this. Sean, you're next. Hello.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I heard you guys mentioning about him at the press conference. I had the same impression about him, realizing sort of where he landed. And I think it's always been a little bit of a struggle between him and Bill. And I wonder just if Tampa was probably not what he was envisioning, and he's arrived there, and I think he's finally got what he wanted. To sort of be the main guy. And I'm wondering if he's, looking around and going, ooh, this might not be so good, because Belichick's always been there when things aren't going well to sort of take some of the bullets. I don't know what Bruce Arians is going to stand on that.
Yeah, do you think he's, and thanks for the call, Sean, I'm going to hang up on this damn thing. Do you think that he can, like, tarnish the legacy at all if he goes down there and it's like he looks 43 and he completely sucks? Or is it, I just feel like he can't hurt himself to me. Granted, I'm a Brady Bobo for the most part. I think he has the built-in excuse. Well, it's Tampa. What did you expect? It's a new thing. He's never done anything like this before. I think even if he falls on his face, it's not going to, like, tarnish the legacy. It'll just be kind of quickly forgotten. He's old. It's a bad franchise. What did you expect? I think there can only, if he succeeds there, wins a championship, obviously there's going to be accolades all over the place. But if it's a massive failure, do you think it hurts the legacy?
I mean, probably a little bit. But again, I think that type of stuff just sort of gets, forgotten. It gets swept under the rug in the grand scheme of things. I think we'll talk about it here, when it happens. But when we reflect on Tom Brady's career, when he goes in the Hall of Fame, if it doesn't go well there, I don't think anybody will really hold that against him. I mean, he has far, far out, exceeded already, I think, the generally accepted expiration date for a franchise quarterback. To even still be playing at age 43 and look halfway decent. So I don't think that will really be used against him too much.
All right, this LeBron thing I want to get to. He's trying to help cure our boredom during the pandemic, and we have to get behind LeBron. I know you hate LeBron. As a Celtics fan, you hate LeBron James. I understand that. But on this, we all have to be with LeBron. We'll get to that next on Gasper and Murray.
Gasper and Murray. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 Sports Hub.
What they need to release is the Michael Jordan documentary.
Ooh-wee.
ESPN, you really want to get some views right now?
Man, I'm telling you.
I know it was scheduled for June or something like that. Y'all need to, I think they were scheduling for right before the finals, and it's like, nah.
Right before the finals? No, no. If I'm Michael Jordan.
We all waiting.
If I'm Michael Jordan, I'm going in there and I'm making a conference call, and I'm like, okay, what's the reason we're going to hold on to it to June now?
No.
Compared to now where everybody is at home.
LeBron trying to do the Lord's work right there. I know you might not like him, and I understand that. But there, we all have to be on Team LeBron. Because LeBron, what he's doing there on the Road Tripping podcast with former teammate Richard Jefferson, it's Gasper Murray, 98.5 of Sports Hub, is that he's just demanding from ESPN that they come out with The Last Dance, the 10-part documentary series that's promised to tell the untold stories of the 98 Bulls and Michael Jordan. Come out with it now, because they don't even have a date on this. It's going to be aired on ESPN. And if you've seen the trailer for this, Chris, have you seen it?
I have not seen the trailer.
It'll make you be like, oh my God, this is going to be the greatest thing you've ever seen, because there's apparently a treasure trove of footage from behind the scenes of that 98 Bulls team, and this thing's going to be nuts. And you just watch that trailer, and there's no way that this thing's not going to be amazing. I mean, 10 parts, it might be a little bit bloated, but please,
seem a little long.
We desperately need good content right now, all of us, right? We're out of our minds. We're trapped in our houses. We need things to watch. And they have like a vague June release date, not June 10th, not June 20th, just June. And it's done. So that's the thing. Like, part of this we can't play because of expletives. But Richard Jefferson, who works for ESPN, says it's done. It's been done. I know. I don't want to get fired, but release that S. And LeBron said, ESPN can't fire you, RJ. But this thing's done. So come up with it now. Like, why are you waiting? Like, we all need the content
Give us the content, the sweet, juicy nectar of content. And this this 10-part documentary series, The Last Dance, just come up with it now, will you? Even if you got to charge us for it, will you please listen to LeBron? LeBron's trying to do the right thing here and demand that ESPN come out with the 10-part documentary series now because we so need it. I will give credit to the movie industry, who has started to put out, you know, movies that should have been in theaters right now, available to rent. Granted, it's a little bit pricey. I don't know if I'm going to open the wallet and pay $20 to see Invisible Man or some of these other movies that are out right now. I don't know. You're a bit of a thrifty fella yourself. Like
I am.
I don't know. Can you find yourself doing that, even if in the most desperate of boring times, Chris?
I mean, it would have to be like a superhero, like Black Widow, I would do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I could
like
probably.
Like superhero movies. And what's, I'll tell you, Top Gun Maverick, 100% I would do it.
But I know for kids, like Disney pushed Frozen 2 out early.
That Bloodshot movie's already, like, in, you can get that on, like, Apple TV and stuff. You're still seeing stuff for that Vin Diesel movie?
Yeah. The Hunt. So, you know, good on them. Good on Hollywood for, you know, putting these films out now. Because if you can't go to the theaters and see them, give people the opportunity to rent them. Granted, it's a little bit pricier, but fine. Like, that's smart. And ESPN should do the same damn thing with this documentary. Like, the people need the content. We all so desperately need the content. Adam and Quincy on the Patriots. Go ahead, Adam. Hello? Is he up there, B-Rob? Hello?
How you doing, guys?
Good. What's going on?
Nothing. I was commenting on the Patriots in this offseason. With everything else going on, and then they don't even have – how do they allow themselves to go into cap jail, basically, and not even be able to pretty much compete this year? I mean, aren't they always prepared and they always have a plan, but they have nothing to spend. They can't improve the offense. And I feel, it feels like a loss here.
That feels a bit desperate to feel that way, you know, at the end of March. But I don't know, they screwed up how they've handled things in terms of the finance aspect of it, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, I mean, they're sort of, they have, I mean, I'm not laughing because I'm laughing at them, but you have major issues at wide receiver, major issues at tight end, and yet you're in cap jail. I mean, those are two big-time skill positions in today's, you know, NFL, and it's not like they spend a ton of money traditionally at those two positions. And you had a quarterback that over the years has traditionally taken less money. So it is a little odd. I mean, that's kind of one where you look at it and you think, you know, when you and look, you know, Miguel does a great job. Pat's Cap does an awesome job breaking this down. But that's one where when you have some of these misses on guys who have like guaranteed money, like, you know, on Michael Bennett or whatever, that stuff starts to add up when you start giving people guaranteed money to come to your team and then they don't help your team at all. So I do think that they've mismanaged the cap slightly when you look at what they have available to them at the end of the day. Because when I look at their roster, I'm just trying to think off the top of my head, like who on this team really has like a top of the market contract at their position? Like I think Devin McCourty's new deal was pretty good and the old deal was really good. And he played that one all the way out, which is kind of rare for them. There was no renegotiation or salary cap tweak to that. But who really has this? Stephon Gilmore would be the other one, yeah. I guess. So they spent a lot of money in the secondary and it's paid off for them. But other than that, I don't look at it and think, oh, you're in cap jail because you have this person you have to pay, like, top of the market.
Did you buy the talk that releasing Stephen Gostkowski this week was about money? Or was it, you know, he had the hip surgery, he's getting up there,
yeah.
He had certainly been erratic, and definitely was before he got shut down last year. Is it which of that was? Do you buy the narrative that it was about the money?
I think it was a combination of factors, I do. And I thought it was really great. I love the statement that Bill put out. I thought it was right on the money.
Gushing.
About Stephen Gostkowski. Yeah, because I don't think people hear, and look, my first season covering the team full-time was Stephen Gostkowski's first season, 2006, so maybe there's a little bit of nostalgia there for me, and I, you know, I like Stephen a lot personally, but I just feel like he had an impossible task. I mean, let me put it to you like this.
Well, he was the guy after Vinatieri,
exactly.
The greatest kicker of all time. Yeah.
That's fair. If the quarterback who follows Brady is as good as Gostkowski was following Vinatieri, wouldn't you be pretty happy?
No, that's a win. You're right.
I mean, that's a big-time win.
That's
I mean,
a good
I think Gostkowski, like, kickers don't make the Hall of Fame. Adam Vinatieri will be in there. But I think Gostkowski, relative to that position, is a borderline Hall of Fame kicker. Like, look at his numbers. And so I just don't think people appreciate, and I know Bill does because he was there, just how mentally tough Gostkowski was to be able to have this type of career succeeding Vinatieri and what it was like for Steven Gostkowski in 2006. I mean, that it was an enormous amount of pressure. And let's see how Jared Stidham or whoever's there handles it this year, because Gostkowski handled it really well. He made that big kick against the San Diego Chargers in San Diego. And honestly, really, he was fine right up until the point his genius coach decided he wanted to change the extra point to make it more, quote unquote, competitive.
You really, is that what you ultimately think kind of broke his brain a bit?
Yeah, missing that kick in Denver.
Yeah,
missing that extra point. I do, because I'll tell you this from knowing this player and this person. No one's harder on Steven Gostkowski than Steven Gostkowski. Like, I know Maz thinks, like, oh, you know, he's hard on him, and he, you know, no. I mean, Steven's incredibly hard on himself, and he also never looked at himself, by the way, too, as like just a kicker. He looked at himself as a, you know, professional football player, an athlete. This is a guy that could have been a major league pitcher. And so I think missing that kick in Denver was something where I'm not sure he ever really forgave himself for that. And I think it crawled into his brain in some other situations. The missed extra point, I guess, against Philadelphia, the one against Atlanta. And I also think the other thing with Steven, now I'm going on a tangent, he gets blamed for a kick he never got to attempt
in Super Bowl
42. Super Bowl 42. That wasn't his fault that Bill decided to go for it on 4th and 13 and Brady chucked it up to Jabbar Gaffney rather than kicking a 49-yard field goal in that game. So people put that on him. You want to put him on him if he'd attempted it and missed it? Fine. But he never got to even attempt it, and that's not his fault. That's the coach's fault.
I feel like this was like 4 minutes of you just yelling at me without actually yelling at me, because I've been one of those people that was very hard on Steven Gostkowski. Yes. I'm hard on all kickers.
I think they really are.
They all stink, and they're all mentally broken, save for Adam Vinatieri, although he had a bad year last year. But Vinatieri, it's Vinatieri and the precipitous drop-off. But to be fair, it is... He was put in a very difficult situation to be the kicker after Vinatieri, the greatest of all time.
And by the way, no one remembers, but I'm sure you do. Go back to, what was it, Super Bowl 38? Yeah, Vinatieri made the game winner.
He missed two chippies.
He had a kick blocked. I think he missed another one in that game.
Wide right. It was like 38. It was like a 38-yarder.
I remember this.
Oh, yeah. No, that was bad. Of course, he hit it with nails, the one he absolutely had to. But
so did Gostkowski made the one he had to make. In Super Bowl 53, Brady's on the sideline saying, "Why don't we just kick it?" And they do. Ball game.
That one had a lot of English on it. I didn't feel great.
Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, you never get the credit.
No, but ultimately, look, finishes here, a 3-time Super Bowl champion, and you're right. That's the better way to put it. If the quarterback after Brady, and say that Stidham, ends up having a comparable career to what Gostkowski did after Vinatieri, that's a win. That is certainly a win. All right, we got an hour to go here. Gasper Murray, our new time, now 10 to 1 instead of 11 to 2. I'll tell you why that is after the Sports Hub headlines. If you want to join us, 617-779-0985.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.